The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Let me check my notes real quick. Oh, yep. I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
You say that, you do that a lot these days.
Well, and I'm wondering, to write a lot of stuff down.
I'm just curious why you keep forgetting your name or even why you have, or your
I've
notes.
I've got a like, lot going on, Griffin. I don't,
so much that you forget your own name and you need to refer to notes to look at it.
I don't have to explain myself to you. You're not my boss.
Check this out. I'm sure I'm Griffin. Positive.
I wanted to do one of our great watch segments, you know, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cinema entertainment. Yeah. So I just loaded up Marquee Cinemas over in Huntington over the Pullman Square Plaza.
Okay.
16 screens of pleasure there.
Oh, wow.
And I was just going to run down.
Hey, just real quick, Justin. Yeah. 16 screens of pleasure doesn't sound great.
No, well, it sounds like they're showing a lot of smut.
Well, let's take a look, because I thought this would be a good way of figuring out what to do a watch on.
Okay.
Because, like, if you think about it, it's weird, because there ain't movies.
No.
You know what
no.
I mean? There's no movies, but they are opening up the theaters to show. I mean, there's no movies. Here's the great news.
Movies gave us Scoob, and they're like, that's going to tide them over for a while.
Yep.
First up, Trolls World Tour.
Got it.
That's, I mean, got it.
Got it.
That was the last movie. We were in the last movie, which seems huge. Bloodshot, great. Love Vin. Invisible Man and Sonic the Hedgehog. Now,
those
I know I've seen at my house. Those have been at my house for a little
gripping
bit,
tight.
As well as Fantasy Island.
Gripping tight to the edge, not letting go.
So this is what, and then they're like, well, God, man, we got a lot of screens. Dang, I wish we hadn't put up this many screens. Maybe Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is going to play three times.
Thrice.
Whoa.
And once you finish that screening, you could go over and check out Jurassic Park.
The original Jurassic Park.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Those dinos are back. You thought they were extinct, but they're back.
Listen, here's the thing. That is simultaneously ridiculous, but also there's a part of me that's like, ooh, back on the big screen, huh?
Well, do you feel that way about this? Maybe you'll go, Travis, and you'll have the time of your life, which is deliciously appropriate because we're going to head on over and check out Dirty Dancing at 5:30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really make a day of it. Enjoy.
Let me risk my health, life, and lung capacity to catch a big, big, big performance of Dirty Dancing. Sounds cool.
And just to clarify, Justin, are they charging money for this?
Yeah, just the regular prices. Griffin, you may risk your life and limb, but you will never say die because at 8:20, we're going to go over and see a screening of the Goonies. The Goonies, let's make it a double feature of adventure with Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark showing six times today. You will have six opportunities to see Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Now, Justin, I'm now looking at the website, too, and I see on one of the screens they're showing that black and white silent movie where the train came out the screen and everyone dove out of the way.
You ain't that fucking far off, Trav, because the last movie showing is The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
Yeah, just if you've just been 80 years too late on this one, on this 1939 flick, you can finally check out The Lion and The Scarecrow and all of their great adventures.
Metal
Man.
You
have three chances to see Wizard of Oz.
I mean, I guess we could do Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets watch. It feels bad.
This is a national chain. There is going to be someone who is like, well, I got the COVID. Dang it. I got the COVID. And someone's like, how did you get the COVID? It's like, well, I just wanted to enjoy all 2 hours and 41 minutes of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets on the big screen as it was intended.
You know, I've never gotten into Harry Potter before, been a fan, but now it feels like the best time to do it.
The perfect time.
And you forced both your grandpas and grandmas to go to it with you? Fuck you, it's got Kenneth Branagh. You don't know? They need this.
I'm taking Meemaw and Pep-Pep to see the Goonies.
They didn't even show Sorcerer's Stone? They were like, oh, you know what? People are just going to start right here.
We'll start him at 2. The one with Kenneth fucking Branagh in it.
Travis, there's a global pandemic. No one's going to sit through the first Harry Potter movie in a movie theater. You got to skip to 2. This is an advice show where we try to help you. Here's my advice. Don't go to the fucking movies.
No, you know what you should do instead?
Absolute maniacs.
You know what you should do instead?
What, Travis?
Get my brother, and me on streaming or on iTunes or wherever you want.
Well, that.
Watch that TV show.
Also, I was about to give my brothers a quiz, so you could just play along at home.
Oh, my God. This is heartbreaking.
You can play along at home in the safety of your own home. Travis, stop.
It's the way he does it now, Juice, where he's like, shucks. Yeah, it's like you can tell he's like, he's not actually cranking it, but he would if he fucking could.
Do you want to hear something monstrous? Yeah. Travis is the one that finds the questions and sends them to me to ask.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it. So I have no...
Like, right.
You have no recourse.
I have no recourse.
I have them sitting right here. I'll send them to you.
I have nothing. I have no recourse.
But first, I thought maybe we could play along at home.
No, we know. Just do it. Just start.
Yeah, you keep saying it, but it's just making that bit longer every
cute.
Time you say
just
it.
Just fucking
now,
do
correct
it.
Me if I'm wrong. Do you guys like video games?
I do. He just got me there. He got me dead to rights. I love me a video game.
You like video games?
Yeah,
I picked some video games questions because I know in the past they've been a little too tough, and I wanted to give you guys a chance. Now I'm worried. I will say that as I did this, both of you are video games aficionados.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that's worried that you'll know all the answers, but I thought it would still be fun for those at home.
Probably not. Let's try it, though. And let's just make
Let's make a no Google promise.
I always make a no Google promise. Travis, please talk as fast as you possibly can. Justin, same to you, because I'll be doing the same.
Okay, well, I'm killing time now so I can send the questions to Justin because I forgot to do that. But here we go. So, let's see. Who wants to go first? Who wants the first question?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, Justin. Before settling on the name Sonic, what was the name proposed by Sega for this iconic blue hedgehog?
He was originally called Mr. Needle Mouse.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Fuck! How the fuck do you know that?
I read a book, Console Wars, if you ever read that one.
Okay, fine.
Where they talk about the design. He originally was also much more radical and had a lot of toad.
Yeah. Mm. And he wasn't inherently fast. It was his sneakers. They were fast. He had no inherent superpowers.
Who cares?
Needle Mouse is if you literally translate the Japanese word for hedgehog, that's what he is. Oh. Needle Mouse.
Now, Griffin, this is a more recent
Crash
game.
Bandicoot.
Since you are,
Crash Bandicoot.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I could ask you a Crash Bandicoot question, but I won't.
How'd you say that?
What? Well,
say
do you know
name?
What Crash Bandicoot was originally meant to be?
Say the second word in his name.
Crash Bandicoot?
I'm pretty sure you were saying Bandicoot, which...
Bandicoot.
Okay.
See, he's doing it. He's doing it intentionally now.
Assassin's Creed was originally set to be part of what video game franchise?
He's got this.
It's not funny or good. I don't know.
Prince of Persia.
Yeah, Prince of Persia.
It was originally going to be Prince of Persia Assassins.
This is the worst one yet, guys.
That is an interesting fact.
No,
very interesting.
Isn't.
You didn't know it.
Interesting gamer facts.
Justin.
We're talking about we're talking about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets and giving out gamer facts. How far are we into the episode? Scrap it.
Justin.
Scrap it.
Yeah.
In transferring Super Mario Kart.
This is the best of episode week. I'm going to pull some of the best episodes from episode 200 to 250, and you guys do 250 to 300. We'll pull some funny
Justin,
clips, and we'll put up a
In transferring Super Mario Kart to Western markets, what censorship was done on Princess Peach and Bowser?
They made Bowser's dick smaller.
Well, they did do that. But also, the answer I was looking for is they removed champagne from their victory celebrations.
Oh, it's okay. Bullshit. And the dick thing.
Griffin.
Huge, scaly hog.
Griffin.
Big fucking
The entire
balls.
Game of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, takes up how much memory?
I'm going to say 16 megabytes.
What? Less than 1 megabyte.
Wow. Cool.
Wow.
Cool.
Justin.
fucking
the UK version. Fucking of
cool.
Fucking cool. Fucking so radical, baby.
Justin, the
fucking
UK version.
Gamers rise up and eat these fucking facts. Fucking
the UK version.
E3's not dead, gamers. It's right here in the fucking studio, baby.
This Justin, shit.
The UK versions of FIFA 2001 and Gran Turismo 2 shipped with what peculiar feature?
Wings on both. There's wings in the cars, wings in the players, lots of wings.
They had scratch and sniff discs.
Ew,
if you
really?
Scratched FIFA's disc, it would you could quote smell the pitch,
fuck the stink of the pitch,
and rubbing Gran Turismo's 2 disc would deliver an
fuck
authentic pit stop smell.
I wish you could scratch and sniff this episode of Mabim Bam, and it would smell like a dead body.
Now,
it
I think
sucks
you,
and reeks.
This question is for both of you because you'll enjoy it.
For both of us, Griff.
In a guerrilla-style marketing campaign,
Killzone
spoof prostitute-style cards were placed in phone boxes around Soho and London to advertise the original Crash Bandicoot. What did they read?
Randy the Dandy Randicoot.
Not too far off. They read, quote, "New in town, young Randy Bandicoot."
That was,
and then it had a phone number you could call and a picture of Crash in his underpants.
I think he should get a half point for that.
Yeah, I'll give Griffin a half point for that.
Okay, what's the final score, Travis?
Justin wins.
Yay! Cool. When I was in my junior year of high school, I went on a camping trip.
Oh, we can celebrate longer. Hold on, I don't feel like we really celebrated as long as we could.
When I was in my junior year of high school, I went on a camping trip with some of my class. On one of the nights, I woke up having to pee more than I've ever had to piss ever. I mean, breaking of the Hoover Dam piss.
Okay, we know what. All right. We know how much piss is.
God, you have to pee. I tried to wake a friend up, but she
didn't
get up.
No, stop. We're going to tear this up. If you had to piss like the breaking of the Hoover Dam, your body would be torn apart by the internal pressure. So, like, don't say shit unless it's
real.
This
is my favorite thing about starting an episode with Play Along at Home is Griffin gets real feisty.
Yeah, real worked
for
up.
Everyone else's questions.
We actually cut out Play Along at Home, but we just harness Griffin's energy for the rest of the episode.
You cut it out?
I tried to wake a friend up, but she didn't get up. So I barely made it to a teacher's tent when the moment she answered me, the dams broke. I pissed my pants in the middle of the woods and everyone knew about it. Literally everyone. That being said, it's currently 3 eventful years later and I'm talking about it recently with my best friend and he told me he forgot about it.
No,
so my question
didn't.
Is...
Nope, he didn't.
So my question is, how do I ask people if they remember this without reminding them of the terrible accident? I think about this every single... day, and that's PP McGee.
Remember when you shit your pants during Papa's funeral? Nah, man, I forgot. I forget. That's funny. I forgot about when you shit your pants at my Papa's funeral. That's weird. Yeah, it did happen, didn't it? No one would forget.
The things I remember in my life, that with perfect clarity and will until the day I pass off this mortal coil. 1, every time I've seen someone pee their pants. 2, every time I've seen someone fall down, and I mean really fall down.
Really get a good fall going.
Even saying it, you're thinking about a treasured memory you have of watching someone absolutely beef it.
Dude, I saw a serious bonk one time that I just think about all the fucking time.
It's hard trying to do comedy, a comedy podcast, and realizing you're never going to do anything as funny as just seeing someone fall. Really eat the cheddar.
Not get
just
hurt.
Like,
not like get hurt.
Not get hurt.
Well, it's a little hurt, but not like they break something or get, like they get up right away, but like, you know, they were running too fast with a backpack on and they don't like calibrate.
It needs to be bad enough that they, for a second, aren't a person. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, for a second.
Yeah, then it's
like,
almost like, oh, did you plan that? That was cartoonish. I didn't plan it. I'm bleeding.
I was running down a short grassy slope outside of a Waffle House on my way to Kings Island once, and my feet just whoop, and I landed ass first on a metal grate and had to go to the emergency room because I couldn't move, and I didn't get to go to Kings Island, but I do... Like, I know my friends were worried about me, but I do hope while they were enjoying the Kings Island rides and stuff, they thought about the truly spectacular spill that I took, and hopefully we'll never forget about it. And that's a sacrifice I'll make for my friends.
One time I was coming home from Sydney's parents' house, and I'd brought my Xbox, original Xbox, original-ass Xbox over there, And then I was going up the stairs to walk into the house, and I tripped on the stairs and sent the Xbox flying, and also hit my knee so bad that blood started coming out of it. And I live in perpetual sadness that I could not see that amazing sight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fall. Like, if I could ever astral project just to see that one moment, because I think I would, I'm sure Sydney treasures it. She denies it, but I would love, I would just love to have that captured in America's Funniest Home Memories.
Justin,
up there in the bank.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, bud.
Did you make any kind of like audible vocal noise? When that happened,
were
you
like,
you did like a whoa?
Were you like, Master Chief, no!
My something bandicoot!
Like nah, not on an Xbox.
I know, no, Xbox.
It's yeah, a funny Xbox word. Button.
Come yeah. on. Maybe Blink's the time sweeper.
Yeah.
So you, hey,
I've never fallen down.
Ever, so yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
I've never seen Travis fall down. Let me just put this out there and let people...
What if he'd been like, why do we fall down, Master Bruce? And he's like, I never fucking fell down.
I don't fell down. I'm unfallable, dude.
You tell me. Old, you old bastard. Why you fall all the
why
time?
You, after- why do you fall down? No, I you- no, I was saying, Master Bruce. Says, no, why do you fall down?
I gave you a... I had to give you a portable bat signal for when you fell down in the kitchen. I had to come down for fighting the Joker to come help you back up after you fall down so many times, Alfred.
You got
I'm Batman. If I fall down, I just put my arms out and boom, I'm out. You know what I mean?
Do you know how bad it is? I gave the Penguin my home address. So if I'm ever out of town, he can come help you stand back up, Alfred, because you fall all the time and I hate it.
I'm going to put this mantra out there and whoever needs it, use it. So you pissed your pants.
Yeah.
So yeah. What?
What
you make a mess in someone's car, you clean it up. That's like worst case scenario. So you piss your pants. It's just water.
That is one thing that I'll never forget is when our friend Justin drunkenly had a very large.
I'm your brother.
No, not okay. My brother.
Let's
had like an extra large 7-Up from McDonald's in the back of Griffin's car. And dropped it, spilling the entirety of it, and just said, I made a nut. Oh,
yeah, that sucked, man. That was a,
I do think
was...
about that, but we have a good time talking about
no,
that.
No, we
that
didn't. Not... There was a fucking half inch of standing Sprite in the backseat of my fucking car. It was terrible.
There is a certain, I've learned this since I've had kids, I've had a lot more time to think about this and a lot more opportunity. There's a certain drink size. Where if it spills in your car, it's kind of unfathomable. Like, there's a certain drink size where if that's, I think there's something like, if that spills, that's it for me.
That's right. The car.
That's no, yeah, no, I don't have this car anymore. It belongs to the Mr. Misty Slush at this point.
Hey, can I do a Yahoo that was sent in?
Can we help this person?
No,
yeah, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
So you pissed your pants.
So you pissed your pants.
Hey, I have a Yahoo here. And this one's
you do?
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
All right. This one was sent in by a bunch of people. It was sent in by Adrian Cowles first. Thank you, Adrian. It's Yahoo Answers user Iam, which is like Ian, but with an M, who asks.
Or like Liam, but without an L.
Or like Liam without an L.
Or like Chris without the Chris and plus an Iam.
Yeah, sure. So anyway, he says, why are old books so boring?
Thank you.
Books from several centuries back are objectively less entertaining and fun to read than modern books. I would think that few people would consider Shakespeare actually interesting if they thought he wrote his plays 10 years ago. Why is that? Were people simply bad at writing in the past the way we were bad at medicine? Did people not care to make their books enjoyable? Is there a rational explanation for it? Update, 2 days ago. Shakespeare is a bad example of what I am trying to ask. Think of Dickens or Russian classics. So they definitely like walked it back just a little bit.
Okay, I'll relent on Shakespeare.
Okay,
all right.
Here's the thing. Shakespeare's got some murder, stabbing, all kinds of witchcraft, dope shit, sex, jugs, dingle dangles, all kinds of fucking dope shit. But Dickens? Snore.
I do feel like they walked it back too soon, because the point of if Shakespeare was like publishing these works 10 years ago, I do think there'd be people like, what is this shit? I don't understand this at all.
I was reading Dostoevsky and my nuts fell asleep because of how I was sitting. I was so fucking bored reading this.
Now, Dickens is a bad example too, though, because there's ghosts. And there's an old lady in a wedding dress with some old ass cake sitting around, and that stuff.
Orphans.
There's orphans. That's interesting. I think there's a guillotine.
Orphans. That's so cool. Crime Orphans?
Yeah.
Come on, that's cool, though.
I mean, if you can make a movie with singing dogs with songs by Billy Joel in it based on the work, I don't think you can be like, that dude's boring.
All right, let's... We've had a lot of fun. Taking the piss out of this Yahoo Answers user, but I can mention Dostoevsky in here and say that name because I think it makes me sound smart. Have I read Crime and Punishment? Fuck no, it's boring. Have I read Animorphs? Yes.
Yep.
I've read a lot of Animorphs.
I just want to, can I applaud you for twice saying that name with the confidence that you're pronouncing it correctly in a way that I simply could not?
Yeah.
I bought The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky.
Nice.
And my wife and I were going to read it together as part of this thing. This is even before I have kids, so I had no excuse. We're going to read it as part of this like book club, online book club deal.
Nerd.
And we bought two exact same copies and we both made it like exactly 40 pages in and then promptly put it back up on the shelf. And they sit next to each other. And it's worse because it's twice.
Yeah.
It's twice the book that
it's
is
the
shameful.
Twin brothers.
And you can't, it can't just, because there's two, they can't just fade into memory. Because every time I look at the books, there's two of these fuckers next to each other. And I had to take that walk back where I'm like, fucking, what was I thinking? 40 pages. And to this day, some 15 years later, Sydney and I'll be looking at books and I'll still be like, we got to get back to Karamazov.
You remember where we were when we left off, right?
What was happening? I still... there is like a couple of points that are raised. I'll give an example. One of the characters in Brothers Karamazov says, the more that I love humanity generally, the more I find that I cannot stand individual people.
Pretty
That's fucking so dope and fresh. And it's powerful. And it stood out in my mind. That's in the first 40 pages. I don't know what incredible power, what life-changing nuggets beyond that
Here's
that
the
lie
thing,
before
Justin,
me. I couldn't do
no
it.
No one
so
does.
Many nicknames.
No one has read. I would posit the thicker the book, the less chance there is that anyone has read it to completion. And the thing is that they keep selling so that people will, like yourself, put them on shelves. That they are, I've been in a lot of Zoom calls lately where I've seen a lot of bookshelves in the background, and there's a lot of unbroken spines in there with big fancy names on them.
I mean, no one has actually read Dostoevsky to completion because reading that fucking dude's books makes my nuts fall asleep. <There's> I couldn't even finish, if you know what I mean. Now you know who gets me every time. He's K.A. Applegate. I'll tell you what I remember. Tobias turned into a fucking hawk too long.
Yeah, dude.
Could turn
that's
back.
Cultural touchstone.
Thank you.
So I've read a
you
lot
You know
of
what
them.
I love? R.L. Stein.
Yeah.
He's got the puppets. The puppets talk and come alive and it's spooky. I saw the movie Count of Monte Cristo with Jim Caviezel. And I thought, what a cool, this is a cool thing.
Cool.
I need to read
it's
this
cool.
book. I started reading the book and I got about 100 pages in. I was like, wait a minute. This isn't the Dantes that I know. This
nope.
isn't, what is happening? This is
boring.
This book is quite different from the movie that I enjoyed so much. Now, here's the thing. I will tell you, I finished it. I read that book, and I am impressed with myself, and you should be too, but it is, in many ways, way more boring than the Jim Caviezel movie.
Sure.
And way longer. I did the Jim Caviezel movie in like an hour 50.
Cranked
the
it
book,
out.
That was like 6 months of reading.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem.
I'll give you an example, okay? Leather Stocking Tales, right?
What?
James Fenimore Cooper's okay. Leather Stocking Tales. You got Deer Slayer, Last Mohicans.
Sounds sexy.
Oh, right.
The other ones, right? You try to read that, it's unthinkable.
Yep.
It's unthinkable. It's so terrible. I'll give you an example, okay? Leather Stocking Tales is about Natty Bumpo, which rules. I'll give him that. Natty Bumpo is fucking good. But then he's known in these books as Leatherstocking, the Pathfinder, the Trapper, Deerslayer, Le Long Carabine, which is long rifle in French, and Hawkeye. Those are all names for him. You know how many names Judge Dredd needs? One.
Right.
Because he kicks ass and he's just Judge Dredd. And that's what his name is. And then he goes out there and rules. He doesn't need eight other names. They're not like, oh no, the... Miss Doc, you know, Mr. Law, Mr. Big Law. No one has to call him Mr. Big Law.
And call me Stomp Boots.
He doesn't need a bunch of names.
Right. You know, I remember, like, I think it was Deerslayer having to read that for a summer reading program. And the first page is, as far as I can recall, a nonstop run-on sentence that is just like one date about like one, like there was a war on this date. And it's just so dense that I had to reread that one page like 18 yes. times. And I specifically remember at like 17 years old being like, oof, okay, not setting me up for success here, James Fenimore Cooper. Oh boy, you couldn't start off with like, I don't know, a sunrise or something. Give me some kind of, no, you're just starting off with like a history lesson. Oh boy. I remember reading Wuthering Heights and it just kind of ended. And I remember being like 16 and being like, this sucks. I'm like throwing it down. That fucking Heathcliff dude, he doesn't terrorize the neighborhood at all.
No.
And then when he does, it is just gaslighting and psychological and not like fun.
It's not pranks.
Here's how to free yourself. And I have actually used this specific technique that I'm going to share with you. What you do is if there's like a fancy old writer that you think you should be reading, you feel all guilty about it, find another also good writer that takes shit on them. Ooh. And then it frees you from, I'll give you an example. There is actually a pretty famous piece called Fenimore Cooper's Literary Offenses by Mark Twain. And Mark Twain writes a whole essay where he's like, fuck James Fenimore Cooper. He sucks ass. And that to me is like, cool, I don't have to read that. Mark Twain says he sucks. Here's a quote from that. In one quote, in one place in Deerslayer and in the restricted space of 2/3 of a page, Cooper has scored 114 offenses against literary art out of a possible 115. It breaks the record. He fucking dunks on the whole time. That's so fresh, right? So now I don't have to read James Fenimore Cooper. But the rabbit hole goes deeper because some people criticize that piece. There's a quote here, hilarious, this is from John McWilliams. Hilarious though Twain's essay is, it is valid only within its own narrow and sometimes misapplied criteria. Fucking great. Now I don't have to read Mark Twain.
Yep.
I'm out on him too.
Marking him off if you keep going down that chain, eventually all you're left with is the Worlds of Power novelizations of old NES games.
Yep.
Which is fine.
Which, only the work of FX9 will survive.
If you go deep enough, you will find like Mark, like Mark, Luke, and John being like, those novelizations of Mario fucking rule, dudes.
In the old Gospels, it's, man, the Blaster Master novelization of Worlds of Power is some real bullshit. They left out a lot of really cool levels and power-ups.
That seems like a pretty good place to head on over to the Money Zone. But first, Trav, why don't you tell us a little bit about this week's organization that we're donating our ad revenue to?
Yeah, we're going to be donating to the Sylvia Rivera Law Project. Sylvia Rivera was partners in work with Marsha P. Johnson, did a lot of work for the trans community. And the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, basically they're working hard to provide legal services and protect the rights of trans people. They focus specifically on people of color and poor people and fighting discrimination against gender nonconforming folks. So it's a great organization. You can check them out at srlp.org.
Let's get the money to give to them now.
I can't tell you about an experience I had this very weekend.
God, I hope it's related to Stitch Fix, because that's who we're supposed to be telling
it
about
is,
people.
It is. Don't worry.
Okay, sure.
I got me a Stitch Fix. Yeah. I opened that their box, and full I spiders. Lifted out a shirt that made me gasp in delight and run across the house to find my wife and say, look at this absolute winner I have just received. I will post a picture of it. It is a beautiful shirt. And here's the best thing.
Covering anime babes.
No, there are no anime babes, Griffin. They just, it kind of looks like fireworks on it, but like in a really cool like way. And the thing is like, I didn't like pick that shirt out. It was that because my stylist has worked with me and I've answered questions that they were able to say like, Travis is going to love this. And they were right, because that's what Stitch Fix does. They like ask you questions. They work with you to figure out what your style is. And then they send things that are your size, your style, and you try them on, you keep what you love, and you only pay for what you keep, And one of my favorite things about it, you can say, like, this is how much money I'm comfortable paying for a t-shirt. This is how much money I'm comfortable paying for shorts, right? And so they won't send you super expensive clothes that you don't want to keep. It's amazing. So to get started, go to stitchfix.com/mybrother and set up your profile, and they'll deliver great looks personalized just for you in your colors, styles, and budget. You pay a $20 styling fee for each fix, and that's credited towards anything you keep. Schedule at any time. There's no subscription required. Plus, shipping, returns, and exchanges are easy and free. Get started today at stitchfix.com/mybrother, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. One more time, stitchfix.com/mybrother.
Sheet pan pesto salmon.
Whoa.
Hot honey butter glazed chicken.
Whoa.
Fettuccine.
Okay.
Meatballs. And you're hearing me say this, you're thinking, like, what is he talking about? A restaurant? You shouldn't be going out to one of those, a place that's dangerous and you get to, you could possibly get COVID from if they're doing it bad. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you goofball. Oh. I'm talking about doing it at home with Blue Apron, where it's safe in your house and you can make fettuccine pasta and mushrooms like it's like, like you're doing food art. And right now, cooking at home matters more than ever. I think I've outlined that pretty well, so I don't have to go into more detail about why home cooking matters right now. But Blue Apron is a really good way to do that, because you get a box of fresh quality ingredients delivered straight to your door, and then you follow these recipes and you make tasty, tasty meals, and you learn how to cook. I did Blue Apron for a long time and got good at learning how to cook, and now I can make whatever. Stew, pasta, bread, pudding. And it's great. You create a plan that works for you with Blue Apron's ever-changing mix of menu options, and prices start as low as $7.49 per serving. Don't sacrifice flavor. Don't settle for boring meals. With Blue Apron, you can enjoy top-rated recipes all month long. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off across your first two deliveries when you visit blueapron.com/mybrother. That's blueapron.com/mybrother. Blue Apron.
Feed your soul.
Whoa.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm, and the doctor had told me I'd never walk again.
I couldn't get my book started.
I was lost, honestly.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Ono, Ross, and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders.
I'd call them heroes.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better. I can walk again.
I wrote an entire book this weekend. It's terrible, but I did it.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
Hey, who's that on the... It's Lynn. Hi, Lynn. I wasn't recording before, but now I am. Oh. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. We were in the middle of doing the podcast, and now we're just like...
Thank you.
In it. You're on it. This is the podcast.
Longtime fan, third time caller. Thrilled to be here.
Is that right?
There's no way
it's been just
we were just
on the
just
one
three.
Time when you were at the Public.
And then that time you guys did the Margaritaville blue carpet.
Oh, right. Yep.
And then the other times were live times when you indulged me saying, hey, guys, I wrote another song about you. Can I play it at your show?
We've given you a lot of opportunities, huh?
Yeah. You're so welcome.
But I think this is my third time on the podcast.
That's great. Wow. What an honor.
Make them say hammer proper.
Hey, how are you doing, though?
I'm all right.
Whoa.
Oh, fuck. There's a story behind there. There's a sadness. Sadness behind those eyes.
I'm quite hashtag blessed, all things considered. You're catching me after spending an hour and a half putting together a playset involving tools. And as soon as I finished putting together the playset, my son yelled, yay, and then stubbed his toe, started bleeding, and started screaming. So.
Oh my God. Did he stub it on the playset?
No. Oh. He stubbed it on being five and running funny.
So I don't really want to talk about Hamilton. It is, if anybody cares, it's coming out on Disney Plus July 3rd. You can watch it on Disney Plus.
I'm sure you're fucking sick of talking about it, too, right?
Sick of talking about it. I'm sick of talking about it.
I'm happy to talk to you about anything else.
Any other musical?
Any other musical?
What's going on with Tootsie? I have this feeling sometimes like Tootsie is still going. Yeah?
Like they're still doing it. No crowd.
Yeah, no, I feel like they're still doing Tootsie probably.
It's come and gone.
Oh man, fuck. It was so funny though.
Poor little Henny out for Tootsie.
Are there any musicals going right now?
There is a Phantom of the Opera playing in Seoul, South Korea. Huh. That is the one musical playing in the world right now because they were serious about their shit and locked it down, and now they can do Phantom.
Hmm.
Which is all about a guy in a mask, weirdly Perfect. Enough.
Yeah, it is weird.
That's the price you get for taking it seriously. You get to see Phantom.
I was going to ask about the musicals that form the DNA of who you are. I'm so grateful every time we get a little night music, courtesy of Justin McElroy, mm-hmm. when he sings in that ineffable.
It's really just that one clowns. Track, though, right, Juice? You're not like a big night music like head.
Didn't know it was from that. So that's where I'm at as far as that. I had it on a Lou Rawls CD when I was younger, and so I got it in my heart that way. Musicals that really form, man, you know, obviously Rent was huge for me. As Tim Robbins told me at your show, Hamilton, Rent taught my generation tolerance, which is huge.
Huge for
huge
Rent.
Thank you to Rent.
Big ups
to
Rent.
Did you ever dreamcast yourself in Rent? Did you ever give a thought who you might play?
I'm pretty sure that I would be the window washing guy. Honest living. That would be a good part. Honestly, I would be lucky to have it. You know, Man of La Mancha was a big one for me.
That's cornerstone for me.
That was my audition song. Was Man of La Mancha for a very long time. Was the title track Man of La Mancha?
Oh
yeah, not Impossible Dream. I can't carry that off. No. But I could do like a sort of spoken word intro into the song, and then. Because that gets you like 30 seconds in, then there's only 30 seconds of singing after that, which is perfect.
Lynn and I share this, we're playing Birdie, Conrad Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie.
It is, how old were you when you did it?
I want to say like 17, 18.
That's huge. When you are at your gangliest and teeniest and you play a role in which everyone has to pretend to be in love with you, I mean, it kind of explains everything about
it. Well, it goes one step further than that, Lynn. Our father was the director, nepotism, and one of the creative decisions he made was to have Conrad Birdie, myself, enter from behind a 12-foot-tall photograph of myself, backlit with, like, fog, while everyone cheered for me.
Your reckless confidence is entirely justified.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not his fault. Can't blame him.
It's all Griffin, Dad's fault.
Griffin, you like musicals?
Oh, King Kong. The King Kong musical.
Seen it. I saw it.
Yeah. Love that big guy.
I'm as of last year, I'm officially a Tony voter. And so I did my due diligence and I saw every show of last season.
I thought you were going to say voted for King Kong.
I did see the King Kong.
Voted. Biggest gorilla. Yes.
It won a special award. There are.
A King Kong award.
Yeah. Biggest King Kong.
Special honorary Tony for being the biggest King Kong, for taking 14 people to manipulate. It has a special Kong Tony.
It knocked the shit right out of Noises Off's King Kong.
That King Kong sucked.
That King Kong sucked. The one in Tootsie was cool, though, because he had sunglasses and he came out on a skateboard. Yeah. He was like, oh, yeah.
But only 13 people.
Yeah. Hey, Lynn, are there musicals that you are... I get this way with pop culture sometimes where I become fixated or obsessed with the idea of something without actually like having any actual affection for it or actually maybe even seeing it. I'll give you an example to give you a little time to think. There is this musical called Chocolate the Musical, and it's a one-woman show that this woman tours around with and does Chocolate the Musical for like, I guess if you have like a meeting of the Red Hat Ladies or something like that, she'll come and do musical Chocolate the Musical. And
the Red Hat Ladies is such a deep pull, Dustin.
Yeah, now if you know Arnani, man, it's pretty much top of mind 24/7.
Is she a Red Hatter?
Hell
absolutely.
The Red Hat Ladies, in case you don't got this, is like a society of ladies who wear like red Sunday hats. Brunch hats and go see shows. It's very benign. It's not the current connotation of red
hat. No, it's a very different vibe. The other one is the High Fidelity Musical. which came out for like a few weeks and then wasn't anymore.
Performances on Broadway written by my good friend, Tom Kitt. That was the musical that put the fear of God in me because the same producers produced High Fidelity that produced In the Heights, my first show. And like for years, they were like, well, we're going to get High Fidelity on because that's a no-brainer hit. Everyone loves the book. Everyone loves the like tunes. And then it like lasted eight performances. And they were basically like, once High Fidelity is a hit, we'll take a chance on your little show with Latins in it. And then it didn't. Nothing happened.
How did your show do?
It turns out our show did okay, but it was scary. It was sort of like that was such a surefire hit. It had a well-known director, a great composer, and it just, you know, no one wants to see Rob sing.
I guess, yeah.
Like the whole thing is that he listens to music.
You're making something about the best music ever. When there's frequent arguments about, like,
and you're not allowed to use that music,
yeah,
totally,
yeah.
It was an impossible. It was an impossible task.
You know, you want to hear my favorite song? I own a record store. That's my favorite song. It's always been my favorite song.
We don't have questions. A question from the audience for you, like we sometimes do for Guestbert stuff, and I've been asking the last few Guestberts, like, you know, COVID related stuff, like what are you doing at home? But I think it would be better to do a Yahoo,
yeah,
and just like get you on that Yahoo with us. Do you feel like qualified to do one of those?
Completely unqualified, but happy to be along for the ride.
Wait, okay, just one more quick thing. Just Starlight Express. Have you seen it, Lynn?
Can I tell you?
Because that's a musical about trains.
Yeah,
I know. And I would love to see that.
By the way, it's based on Thomas the Tank Engine.
Get out.
And his company is the really useful company because he wanted the rights to Thomas and it didn't quite happen. So he did his own train musical. I've never seen it. I actually have deniability on that one. I remember seeing the commercials and being like, well, trains, musicals, where do I sign? But my parents didn't have the money, so I never saw it.
Unfair. Unfair. Okay, Griffin, I'm sorry. I won't talk about any other bizarre musicals.
Lynn, I'm so excited for you to put your... We've never allowed anyone into this particular sanctum, and I think you're going to crush it. Michelle sent this one. It's a Yahoo Answers user, who I'm going to call Jamuel Miranda, asks, Super Mario versus yourself in a few scenarios. For some random reason, Super Mario is teleported into the real world with the sole goal to hunt you down and kill you. Mario is still bound to his game physics and can still jump just as high. I'll give you three scenarios that could occur, and I want you to tell me how they would play out.
Oh,
so we can just run down these.
A different direction than I...
Yeah, before we get too deep, I need to make sure I understand the premise.
Yeah.
Mario has been teleported into our world.
Yes. He went Sonic movie style.
Go down Earth 616.
Go down a pipe.
Or wherever.
Go down a pipe, come up an Earth toilet, and he wants to kill you so bad. And that's...
Okay, so
he wants to kill you, or he's been tasked with killing you?
He needs to kill you.
Okay.
That
is important, because I could maybe talk him out of it if it's just a job.
No, you got the pipe inside you that gets him home. So, anyway...
That, though, is a different scenario than him just wanting to kill me.
Okay, he could jump really high. Scenario one, you are casually walking outside like any normal day. You feel safe and are unarmed. Suddenly, Mario, who is also unarmed, comes running at you with the purpose to end your life. You know this and prepare to fend off the ambush. What happens?
Wait, is he mushroomed or not?
He's unarmed.
Now, this is actually huge. I need to know scale, right? That is my biggest question. On the TV, he doesn't look very big. But
is he a human-sized Mario?
Is he a human-sized... Okay, so he's a human-sized Mario.
Yeah.
Is he human-sized at the same proportions? Because density there is a huge
factor.
He's
a dense fella. He's quite thick in all the right places, but he's running at you. It says he's running at you. He's not like walking at you slow, imposing Terminator style. This fucking plumber is sprinting at you, Lynn.
You have to get high.
You have to get high. Higher than...
If his whole thing is jumping on you, you got to get high.
Yeah, you get to get the high ground. But now we're in a Donkey Kong scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to stop. He's coming for you.
You got to throw barrels.
You got to throw barrels.
Got to throw some barrels at this fucking guy.
Could you get under something
under something that will protect your head from bouncing.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's just Mario running at you, he does not have a... I mean, I guess he could spin, couldn't he?
He can spin,
that's
he can punch,
danger.
He can punch in some games. Here's my thing. There are enemies in Mario that walk slowly at you and you wait for them to end you. Or sometimes they run really fast at you. Or sometimes they jump. I don't think there is an enemy in Mario that, like, can fucking punch and kick the way I do. So, like, Mario may not... He may run at me and, like, start to jump. And I just, like, kind of move out of the way. And I fucking punch him in the face. He's like, oh, what are these? And I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I punch back.
He won't understand
it. He won't get it.
No. He can't process that.
There is also, I'm now thinking that the Mario games would be much different if, like, when a Koopa saw Mario coming, they ran away from him. Like, I don't want, I'm just walking around, dude.
All right. I'm a hopping turtle.
Let's do a bit of, let's do some opposition research here. Lynn, you're going to play the role of Lynn. You are quarantining wherever you are quarantining. Travis, yes. Justin, and I are going to be Mario. And let me pitch you scenario two. You're inside your house like any normal person during quarantine, and you see Mario trying to break into your house. You can defend yourself with anything in your home, and Mario is armed with a hammer throw power-up.
Wait, a hammer throw power-up? That's like Donkey Kong. He's got the hammer, and he's swinging indiscriminately?
No, he throws.
Like the Hammer Bros?
Yeah.
Oh,
he can't throw.
Got it. Okay.
So I guess take a moment, look around your house, and in 15 seconds, Justin, Travis, and I are going to come at you with...
And don't say a Tony or anything, because, like, that's cheating.
Because it's very heavy. The Tony is a heavy
Very heavy and impressive.
What if Lynn is like, I pick up the big gun? By the way, guys, I'm huge into guns. And this is how I'm this is how I'm announcing it to the world.
Yeah.
All right, Lynn, your time's up. I smash in through the window with my big, powerful carpenter's boots or plumber's boots. And now Mario's in your house.
I activate the... Playmobil water table I have spent the last fucking hour assembling. You're so much slower in water. Get out.
Okay. Okay. So you've... Okay.
You're so much slower in water. Fair. Now I'm just a squid who moves slowly and I'm a threat.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, that's pretty good. I don't know how a water table would flood an entire house. You shouldn't...
I'm putting on all the water. Just all the water. I'm flooding everything.
Okay,
I'm flooding
Lynn
the basement.
The
I'm flooding the room.
Justin, Travis, take the Mario wheel.
We're just still trying to kill Lynn? Is that the idea?
Yeah, the three of us are trying to kill our friend
are
Lynn.
Are we three different Marios?
No, we're the same Mario.
Okay, wait. I'm going to take over.
Travis,
okay, you turning Travis, this to a water Mario level. Now. Get on my level.
Okay, so you've begun flooding your own home.
Yeah, hammer throwing is no longer, you can't do that in water. That's silly.
Yeah, so I'm going to break a wall sconce. I assume you have sconces. Off the wall and attempt to electric.
Don't fucking dox Lynn.
I live in an apartment building in Manhattan.
So you have sconces?
I have no sconces.
Ah, fuck. That was the only thing I had. Well, now you just see Mario looking for sconces and he's just pawing at the wall.
Travis wastes his turn. Lynn, how are you going to kill Shigeru Miyamoto's best friend and video game son, Mario?
I am going to, because I know that just touching me will kill him, because that's how it works in this world, yeah. I'm going to edge and swim until Mario's close to the window, and then I'm going to try to open the window.
Okay. Justin. Ooh.
Because I live several stories up.
He's right in your fucking trap, Justin. Get him.
I'm going to push beloved Tony winner and multi-talented artist Lin-Manuel Miranda out the window.
Okay.
I'm going to Wario scowl as I fall out the window.
All right, we won.
We killed Lynn.
I won't
see,
have,
good job, guys.
What is scenario three? Let me just read it.
Hey, who lives, who dies, and tells your story? It turns out Mario is who tells your story. That's so weird. You didn't see that coming.
Oh, well,
sorry,
this,
but our princess is in another fucking castle.
Lynn, I know you're busy and we've kept you for a long time, but I would be remiss if I didn't read scenario three. You've successfully evaded Mario this whole time and managed to locate where he lives while he isn't trying to kill you. You now have the element
the sewer,
of surprise.
Right?
You now have the element of surprise and can bring with you whatever you could reasonably afford, get a hold of, or make. There is no way of knowing what Mario has, though. So now the tables have flipped a little bit.
Ooh.
Mario Lynn is in his Manhattan apartment. Well, this is getting a little aggro for my taste.
Yeah, this is like John Wick shit, where it's like, okay, now you have to go after them.
This is that Van Damme hard target. How does it feel to be hunted?
That's pretty good.
I assume he's, like, little. He's not eating a mushroom when he's chilling at home.
Oh, no.
He's on the run now. If he's hiding,
he's in his most vulnerable.
This, but when he eats the mushroom, he gets big. It hurts his bones so fucking bad. His bones and muscles and skins all grow so fast, so much. So
and
no,
when he gets small again, his bones don't shrink. They just kind of bend. It hurts. And so
she doesn't. He doesn't do the eat the mushroom at home unless the princess makes him. If you know what I mean.
I don't understand.
Oh, I had a mouthful of water.
For his hog. For Mario's hog.
Oh, he eats it too.
For his hog.
Okay.
For his hog.
The mushroom makes his hog bigger.
Right.
Lynn,
we're going to explain to you in excruciating detail the premise of Justin's joke.
What Justin is saying is that when Mario eats a mushroom, his penis
all of them gets
not only becomes engorged, but embiggens.
Right. All of them becomes bigger, Lynn, right? And so that would include his genitals, which, and I guess in this scenario, the princess would want like a bigger like zone down there.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense?
So it
would make him eat the mushroom so that his penis would become larger.
Explain it back to us, Lynn, just to make sure that we know that you understand it.
So Mario is at home, but he's in his half man form, his lowercase form.
Right. Yes.
Unless the princess asks him to eat the mushroom, in which case.
Why would she want that? And explain it, because I need to know that you got it before we can move on.
It would grow him to double the scale, including his genitals.
Right.
Correct. And why would that be desired by her?
Why would she
her?
Want that? Yeah.
I'm going to hang up. Everybody gets it. Okay. This is great.
No, I need to know that he understands
now
the
gone.
Benefit.
It's all good stuff. It's all good, fun stuff. July 3rd.
Welcome to Warp Zone.
July 3rd. Check it out. Disney Plus. Do a double feature. Hamilton and the...
No one tell Disney
It feels
Plus
funny.
About this episode.
I don't like the plug after this. I don't like the plug.
Disney Plus, you can do a double feature. Hamilton and the Journey of Natty Gan. Fired up.
Call up Bob Iger, say, I got a podcast for you, bud.
Oh, what?
Gonna love this one.
Gonna kill our chances of getting on there, actually. I'm starting to freak out about it.
So would you stab him, or?
I think Lynn is.
Lynn doesn't have time to kill him.
What would I do with, I mean, getting close to him would kill him in that moment when he's most vulnerable.
He's right?
Yeah, but
man,
would you enjoy that as much?
I mean, that's
Are
a
you
thing.
Saying that you're going to get Wait, I just want to be clear, Lynn. Are you telling me that you're going to kill Mario while he's in flagrante in the middle of sexual congress? Is that when you're going to wait for your moment? You fucking nasty dog.
Come on the podcast, Justin said. We'll talk about musicals, Justin said.
July 3rd.
We talked about
Disney Plus.
We did the prerequisite musical conversation before we got the meat, the pearl of this oyster.
In my defense, I did want to talk about more weird musicals, but Griffin made me change. You heard that happen.
Yep.
You heard him. Just real quick, though, did you see Spider-Man?
I didn't. I never did.
I had
a friend who was at the first preview, and he was a big Spider-Man fan, and he was like, this isn't even about Spider-Man, dude.
Fucking left kicks ass.
The guy got hung up and everything stopped and he left. That's all I know about Spider-Man.
That's how it ended every night. You never knew when it would happen. Eventually, Spider-Man would get stuck and everybody would bow underneath them. That was the end of the musical. Okay, Lynn, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's always such a joy. And we're
always
so...
Pleasure,
Lynn, I'm sorry. Yeah, now I feel bad that we made you talk about like dirty video game stuff.
I'm kind of into it. I'm good.
Oh, good. All okay. right. I got some websites
Weird.
For you to visit.
Okay.
And I'm sure the rest of Twitter will help you out with
it
as
great.
Well.
thanks so much, Lynn.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Huh?
Dun, 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 dun,
dun,
dun.
Whoa. I want a munch.
Squad?
Squad? I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within the podcast that features the latest and greatest in brand eating. I have wanted to get a bit more introspective tone because I wanted to start off with a bit more introspective of a Munch Squad today, or at least an introspective lead into a Munch Squad. You know, things are hard right now. I don't know if everybody heard about it.
Oh,
but Earth.
Do tell.
Yeah, it's just Earth, and I have one shining light, and I have two kids, so you know it's not them. I have one shining light that keeps me kind of going when things are hard, and that I do include my children in that,
right?
And it's the fact that somewhere on this big blue marble we call Earth, every once in a while,
the boardroom doors at Papa John's fly open, and you hear, and there is a large dent made in the top of the door jam, which then cracks as Shaq blows into the room and announces, "Hey, idiots, here's the new shit. I'm going to lay it out for you, and you're going to do what I say because everybody hates you except for me, Shaq, the only thing keeping everybody from hating you." Mm-hmm. That announcement recently that Shaq made to the boardroom of Papa John's, Papa John's introduces the extra large Shaqaroni pizza.
Yep. Oh, huh. Huh. Huh.
Is Does he now? The, is the... pizza large, or are the individual? I'm sorry, chacaronis. Is there just
no pepperoni on it? It is pepperoni. It is a pepperoni free pizza covered in pepperonis, which are now chacaronis. Papa John's announced Monday the launch of the new chacaroni pizza. In collaboration with board member and restaurant owner Shaquille O'Neal.
No, no,
now,
shit.
I wish,
you don't say.
I wish that it had said in strict defiance of the wishes of Shaquille, who begged us not to make a chacaroni pizza.
Is it? How does is it? Are they smoky, cured, spiced chunks of Shaq on? I don't want that.
No, it's Shaq free. Papa John's will donate $1 from every chacaroni sold through August 23rd, 2020 to the Papa John's Foundation for Building Community, which is a very general and non-threatening name of a group which supports communities as they work together for equality, fairness, respect, and opportunity for all. Here's the quote. "It was important for me for the chacaroni to be bigger than just pizza. By giving my new pie a try, $1 will be donated to the Papa John's Foundation for Building Community to support COVID-19 relief, the fight against racial injustice, Boys and Girls Club of America, the United Negro College Fund, and general community involvement," says O'Neal, Papa John's board member and franchise owner. Conceived by O'Neal himself, the Shaqaroni is an extra large pizza made with Papa John's fresh, never frozen, 6-ingredient dough, topped with extra cheese and extra pepperoni, Shaqaroni, I think they meant to say, and then cut into Papa John's largest slice size to date.
Well, now, so I don't mean to be obtuse here, but it sounds like what you're describing is a big pepperoni pizza. I guess I'm just confused as to where the Shaqaroni part comes in. And let me just say, why not make it like a macaroni and cheese pizza? Because then Shaqaroni totally applies.
Well, don't even fucking worry about that, Travis.
Oh?
Because the larger-than-life pizza is also accompanied by an exclusive Snapchat AR experience for fans who order the Shaqaroni. Using the Snapchat app, customers simply point their camera at the pizza box to reveal a 3D surprise. I don't know what the 3D surprise is, but I assume it's Shaq dressed as Kazam announcing that your pizza wishes have been granted. Yeah,
what else could it possibly
be? I don't know what else it could possibly be other than that.
Can I just real quick just dial in on the implications of using the phrase larger than life when describing a pizza, which would imply that this pizza is larger than existence, I guess? Larger than anything you could conceive based around your time here on Earth.
Here's what's very interesting, is that nowhere in the press release does it define the bounds of the pizza. It is only in relation to other pizza products from Papa John's.
Maybe it's bigger than Shaq.
It's big. It's very big. We can't tell you how big because the law, legally, we can't tell you how big it is, but it's extremely big.
Perhaps the diameter is one Shaq's worth.
It's a Shaq of pizza. It's a single Shaq of pizza. Actually, they say it's a... Okay, so the CEO of Papa John's, the new good one, I guess, not the old one.
Right.
We're excited to combine all the best ingredients for coming together in support of our neighbors. A Shaq-sized pizza.
Yep.
Now that, to me, I think that's false advertising. Or, that could be criminal.
Or?
Because if it's a Shaq-shaped pizza, then I think if it's Shaq-sized, like, you have to have... How tall is Shaq?
Well, now, that could mean That could mean
he's 7'1". So this motherfucker, even Reggie Fils-Aimé's great shame, the Bigfoot pizza, was nowhere near 7'1".
But what I'm saying not is perhaps it could be the pizza to satiate Shaq. This is a Shaq-sized pizza. This is, you have your human-sized pizza, and then you have your Shaq-sized pizza, which is far larger, much like a baby bear, mama bear, papa bear situation. This pizza for Shaq is just right.
So, okay, theory. The reason that the dimensions are not listed is because it is on a sliding scale, yes, during which in the morning, Shaq consumes an amount of pizza. He has continually brought pizza until he announces, Shaq is sated.
Yeah.
I will have no more pizza.
And then you know for that day.
That's the day. For that day, that is the size of the Shaq-a-roni
pizza. Much like you used to measure like the length of the king's forearm.
Right.
Right. And that was the unit of measure. And then it would fluctuate based on who the royalty was in question. It depends on Shaq. Maybe Shaq is feeling a little stopped up, hasn't had a good BM in a while, isn't all that hungry. That's a tiny pizza that pizza. Day.
It's, he skips pizza that day. Because he has a terrible stomach bug.
Because he's only been eating pizza.
And that day you order the Shaq-a-roni pizza, you get nothing. Yep. You get absolutely nothing.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. You lose. That's a Shaq-a-roni pizza. I think that that's wonderful. I'm so happy that Shaq is finally getting his hands on the dough.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's finally found something he's comfortable putting his name on.
Yeah.
I have been sitting here trying to think of another way of blending an NBA All-Star player's name with a type of salami, and I think
it's... How's it going?
Oh, so bad, man. So poorly.
Mug salami.
Mug salami, like...
Nope. That like feels Muggs, like that feels like Punxsutawney Phil's brother.
That's nothing.
Mugsalani Phil.
I thought in my head to Kimbe Chorizo, but that felt like absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I like the flavor.
Chorizo Barkley, like Charles Bark. No, because you can't say that. You can't. That's like naming. I have named this pizza Chorizo Barkley. It's its name.
That's no good. Huh. Yeah, well,
Scotty Pippenroni. But we already did pepperoni. We just said Shaq in there.
That's true.
Fuck.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you're staying safe, staying cool.
Staying cool.
Keeping the heat off.
Just as important as staying safe, Justin says.
Staying cool.
And you got to be safe with those fans. Sometimes those blades move really fast.
They
be
go
careful.
So fast. No thanks. Sorry, guys. I'm just looking at a list of NBA All-Star names. I'm really down a fucking well right now. But thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song Into Departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a powerful song, powerful anthem of summertime rejuvenation. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows there. And also check out the Sylvia Rivera Law Project. We'll have a link to that in the episode description if you want to support them as well.
There's only a couple more weeks to pre-order the Adventure Zone graphic novel if you haven't already. Pedals to Metal, I believe it comes out, what, the 14th? Something like that. It's coming out real soon. It's like 2 weeks. Don't miss it. Go to theadventurezonecomic.com. You're really going to enjoy it. It's really good. I'm very proud of it.
It's way better than Dickens or...
Yeah, get him. Yeah.
Any of them old jerks. Here's a final Yahoo. This one was sent in by a bunch of people. Thanks, everybody. It's from Yahoo Answers user Ash Lalise asks... How long after back tattoo can I have sex?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Is that naughty?
Say your name.
This is Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.